I'm Jeb Sharp, and this is The World. Happy New Year. 2018 is getting off to an extraordinary start in Iran. People there took to the streets for a fifth day today in towns and cities across the country. The first anti-government protests began in a provincial city last Thursday as an apparently spontaneous demonstration against price hikes. Now, crowds are chanting for the end of the Islamic Republic and, in some instances, for the restoration of the Shah or King. President Hassan Rouhani has said Iranians have the right to peaceful protest, and government forces are showing restraint, but there has been some violence. State-run television reported 10 people killed Sunday night in clashes with security forces, and tonight there are reports a police officer has been shot dead and three more wounded. We reached Roya Sadat Mehr, a translator in Tehran, to find out more.
Where I live, it's very calm. You cannot see people out in the streets protesting. But from friends who have been to the center of the city, I've heard that people are out in the streets and the police force is out more than previous nights. So, yeah, it's still on.
And are people talking about it a lot?
Well, we talk about it with our family members, friends, colleagues. Because it's a little bit weird. We didn't expect it. It came all of a sudden in Mashhad, and then it just ran through all other cities and towns. We are confused because it all started by the hardliners, and then it got derailed by other protesters. So we are really confused. We're talking about it, where it can take us, where it can take the country, and we are worried.
So, Roya, just to make sure I'm understanding you, and I understand you're saying it's weird and confusing, but what seems to have happened from what you can work out is that the original protests were started by hardline elements, but that the nature of the protests led to other kinds of people coming out and expressing their frustration. Is that right?
Exactly. And now you hear different slogans. For example, at Tehran University, you could hear students who were chanting death to Rouhani, and they were asking for Rouhani to resign. And also you could hear students who were chanting for releasing the political prisoners. So people have different ideas and different demands.
How are the protests being portrayed on state television, state media channels?
For the first couple of days, they tried to ignore it, as they always did. But then they started to say that these people are people who are being manipulated by the enemy from the outside of the country. And they haven't actually shown the real protest and different voices of the protesters. They have just tried to kind of scare people not to join them, because these people are against the national security of the country, and they are just destroying the public properties.
Do you actually know anybody who's protesting?
This time, all the people I know were very active in the protest in 2009, are not participating in the protests.
And why do you think?
Because they believe this is something internal. This can make a big chaos for the country, and the results will not be something profitable for people. So that's why they say that let's wait and see what will happen. And most of people I know, they believe in reforms. Of course, people have the right to protest and say what they want or what they don't want. But with this kind of protest that is usually cracked down by the authorities, people cannot get what they want. And the situation can be the opposite. Usually after the protests, they make it more, restricted.
You sound like you're worried about where this could lead.
Yeah, I am indeed.
Roya Sadat Mir, speaking to us from Tehran, thank you very, very much for your thoughts on this.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking to me.
Borzu Dargahi joins me now. He's covering the story for BuzzFeed News. I think the big question, Borzu, is the regime in peril?
You know, that's still not clear yet. If I had to decide one way or the other, I would say no, it's not in peril for a number of reasons, including the fact that this movement doesn't appear to have a leadership or a structure. It doesn't seem to have a coherent ideology or political platform. And it has not, I think this is key, been able to reach out to certain segments of the middle class who are by and large standing on the sidelines of this uprising. They're not participating. So what I'm saying is that almost none of the people who I know participated in the 2009 uprising, and that was big, and that was in the big cities, are participating in this one, because it's either from a different class strata or a different age group. There's no overlap there. And that is going to seriously limit their ability to grow and to coalesce into a real movement, as well as give the regime a certain amount of impunity when it decides, as it is deciding, to use violence to crack down.
It's so curious, though. Different class of people, different strata perhaps, but 25 cities, seemingly quite spontaneous, and if not gathering steam, certainly perpetuating itself. What do you make of the signals you're reading and seeing?
I think that there's a lot of people in Iran who are very, very angry. And I've been hearing this anger every time I've gone to Iran, people who are feeling just under so much pressure because of the economic situation, the inflation, the lack of job opportunities, the crumbling infrastructure, the inability to improve one's lot, the struggle for young people getting a job and getting married and living through the normal sort of rights of adulthood. This is a big issue in Iran, as it was, for example, in Tunisia in 2010-11 and in Syria, where those economic grievances of people who are in semi-rural enclaves or newly urbanized people who have just come to the city and are having a really hard time, those are the people who kind of drove the Arab Spring uprisings in Tunisia and Syria. I think that this is that same strata of the population that is taking part in this. And they seem to be, it's kind of interesting, borrowing certain slogans from Iranian political movements of the past, coming up with some new ones as well. But they seem to be kind of trying to come up with some kind of political platform. But there doesn't seem to be any kind of focal point or center to this movement.
Are you even hearing a coherent demand?
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard a coherent demand. I think it's just a lot of pent-up anger and a lot of frustration. You've had these sorts of sporadic outbursts of anger over the last few years in the provinces, especially over unpaid wages, banks going under and swallowing up people's money, people, you know, being flummoxed or enraged about price hike here and there. But this is a much more serious threat to the regime, a much more serious threat to Rouhani. And I think that the president is being wise right now, the President Rouhani, by not throwing any more fuel on the fire. So in 2009, when the protesters were out in the street protesting against Ahmadinejad, he very unwisely, in this sort of, I guess, proto-Trump-like gesture, he called them dust and dirt. You have nothing like that from the Rouhani administration. They've been very cool and calm and sort of speaking about the demands, the legitimate demands of the people, the legitimate rights of the people. But we have to put some limits on, you know, vandalism and riots and so on. We can't allow that. But he's been very careful not to insult the protesters.
It'll be interesting to see how long he can keep that up, because presumably there will be quite a strong struggle between him and the hardliners about whether to put it out.
I think that's a really good observation. I think he's going to start coming under pressure from the hardliners to let them unleash the full force of the security apparatus. He has been resisting that so far, but at some point he's going to look like a weakling to them and they're going to put him under pressure. But I think that Rouhani, given his very cautious nature, even if they do allow the security apparatus to have greater freedom in terms of how they handle this situation, he'll at least embark on a cooler tone with regard to the public rhetoric, and that will probably help them stave off this crisis.
Borzu, what's been the most striking or surprising detail in all this for you?
I mean, you see these videos from these towns that I've never heard of. And, you know, the analysts I talk to have never heard of these little places. They're like county seats of 50,000 people, not even on a main highway between two main cities, like really far off places. And these people are coming out in the streets and they're, you know, they're protesting and they're, you know, responding to calls on social media, but they're also responding to, I guess, a sense of humiliation they felt at being neglected by the central government, being neglected by the authorities, not having their needs met, not having any political representation among the elite. And I think that is striking. These people in these unknown places, Iran's flyover country, emerging from the woodworks and finding their voice.
Do you have any idea what this feels like to older Iranians who experienced the revolution? You know, what it's like for them when these movements bubble up every few years?
I think that's another problem, too, with the radical slogans that they're chanting. That's a really good point because, you know, Iranians have been through this kind of political chaos so many times right now that many of the older ones, even if their politics are very radical in terms of how they implement those politics, in terms of how they want the country to progress, there's a really strong core of people in the middle class, in the lower middle class, who are very much in favor of slow reform over any kind of radical rift. They say, we've experienced radical rifts. Radical rifts kind of suck, and they ruin people's lives, and they tear away savings, and they cause people to flee into exile, and you never see them again. We don't want to go through that again. We want a slow, undramatic change over the course of years because we've experienced the other way around.
And finally, with all this uncertainty, what are you going to be looking for to help you understand what's next?
I'm going to be looking for numbers and magnitude. I mean, I see videos that show maybe 100, 200 people protesting in these little towns. I see like 400 or 500 people protesting in downtown Tehran. That's not enough to change a regime. They're going to need more numbers. They're going to need to draw people from the middle class. They need to draw those people who were in the streets in 2009 to have much greater impact. Little sporadic protests like this are not going to bring down the regime.
Borzu Daragahi of BuzzFeed News is following events in Iran from his base in Istanbul. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.